about.
Oh my God! Not this again, please.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
There's this feeling out there that the one who was power mad, the one who was megalomaniacal, was you.
Incorrect. I am a professional bodyguard and an international counterterrorism expert. I work around the world for espionage agencies.
But, Sean, you don't.
But I do.
But, Sean, we checked, and you don't.
But I do.
But you don't.
But I do. I've actually been quoted as an expert in terrorism trends and profiles.
Where?
I believe it was a travel magazine a couple of years ago.
And now.
And Rodney on the Rock is sitting home counting gallstones. Is he alive?
Yes, yes.
God bless him.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It's Thursday morning, the 17th of May.
Happy Norwegian Independence Day, by the way.
Right.
Big celebration going on. On this date every year. It's kind of a big one for my people.
It's not your people.
Well, I had a dream, remember, back in the day that took me to Norway. Mm-hmm. And I connected with my people there. And I've always felt a special kinship with the Nords.
Wow.
Right.
I had a dream that I was getting the bottom knocked out of me by Liam Neeson. Does that mean we're together?
maybe it does. Look, if you have an active imagination like I do, anything is possible.
Can I tell you my dream last night?
Yes.
Sure, yeah.
I was in trouble with Cher.
What?
Oh.
I don't know why. Somebody came to me. She's like, Cher's very upset with you.
Oh,
and I was like,
no.
Cher? You mean Cher? And they were like, yeah, Cher. We have to take you. And I said, all right, where are we going? We're going to Cher's house.
So okay. She wanted to see you in person.
Man. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Talk
you
it
did
out.
Something.
So they took me into her living room, and I sat there in a chair, and they tied my feet to the
chair. Oh, my
chair.
Gosh.
No, I wouldn't.
Yes.
Okay, go on.
It wasn't that good. And then, so I was waiting and waiting, and then after a while, I was like, okay, I understand Cher's upset with me, but what's happening?
Right.
Where is she? If she wants to yell at me, let's get this over with. I don't know why I was just accepting that Cher could yell at me.
Yeah.
Right. Or that it was all right that I was kidnapped to take it to her house. So I waited and waited. And then I started getting mad. I was like, where's Cher? I started yelling, where's Cher? This is ridiculous. And I woke up.
I love that.
So you never found out?
No.
Oh, no.
What could that possibly mean?
I can't imagine that there are circumstances that Cher would even be on your radar.
Right.
Even in the deepest recesses of your mind would you even think of her.
Right. And she was – it was some guys with like hoods on that I didn't even recognize.
Yeah.
And that was just me and it was Cher. And
you didn't recognize guys with hoods?
I mean I didn't know who they were.
Oh.
It wasn't like they mattered. I couldn't identify them.
Is it possible – I'm stretching here.
Well,
is it possible that you were watching a show – yesterday or last night, and you saw the trailer for the new Mamma Mia sequel that Cher is in, and that at least planted the face in your mind.
Did they show that during the hockey game last night?
Probably not.
Not
probably not their audience.
Because that's what I watched last night.
Do you think, and this is a reach.
Okay. Look, they're all reaches. I have no idea.
You looked at the clock last night, and you were like, oh.
Don't do it,
Allie.
Don't do it, Allie. God damn you to... How dare you? How dare you?
Because it was late. You wanted extra.
I will say that 99% of the time, if somebody says, let me tell you about my dream last night, it's so boring and you always regret it. That one paid off, man.
I mean, but it didn't
that
really.
That one paid off, but it did for us.
Because why?
Well, I can't imagine. I don't know, but it's such a strange dream.
Yeah, I liked it.
I liked it very much. So, now, two things then.
Yeah.
Do you hope for a continuation of that same dream tonight?
Absolutely. I need to find out what I'm in trouble for.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Why Cher's over me? I mean, right? Why does she?
Yeah.
Well, she did win an Oscar, so she's allowed to yell at you.
Okay. I didn't realize that's how it worked.
And B, and this is a serious question, because some people claim they have the ability to be able to pick up dreams the next night. Like, they have a way to about it as they go to sleep to make the dream come back.
You mean on purpose? They could actually?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
On purpose, yeah.
Not heard of that.
I wish.
You and Liam Neeson would be going for round two.
Amen.
Well, keep us posted if you find out what's going on with Cher. I like that. Hey, kids are dumb, right?
Right.
I mean, we can all agree on that. Kids are really, really stupid.
Kids are stupid.
Including me, Kevin. I'm sure including you. We did dumb, reckless things when we were kids. I mean, I had a...
Not me, but go ahead.
You know, I had a competition one time. I don't remember it, of course, but my parents have told me about it, where we were swinging in swings, and at the very height of the swings, we were jumping to see who could jump the furthest.
Sure. Yeah.
Out of a swing.
Sure. Everyone did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I, you know, ended up hitting a fence and breaking my arm in two places doing it. I mean, you
don't do it when there's a fence there.
Yeah, but you're
that's
bad
how,
at it.
That's how far I went, by the way. No one ever thought I'd get the fence. But my point is, an adult would look at that and go, hey, you're releasing yourself into the air free-falling from a distance of 25 feet or something. Maybe that's going to be dangerous. Don't do that, right?
Right.
It's in retrospect. You know that. Well, The latest thing, it's been going on since last summer, but it's back in the news right now, and I don't recall if we've ever talked about it, but there's a new Facebook post from a mom in the United Kingdom that has parents on alert about the new deodorant challenge. Have we talked about that before?
Oh, people aren't eating deodorant, are they?
No.
Okay.
They're not eating deodorant. What they are doing, Kevin, is they are seeing how long they can withstand the pain of spraying aerosol deodorant onto their skin. Because it's kind of like frostbite. You know, you spray it for a few seconds and it doesn't hurt. Keep spraying it. It hurts a lot. Keep spraying it, and now you're giving yourself second-degree burns. The deodorant challenge is doing the rounds. According to this mom, Jamie Prescott in Britain, I seldom do this, but on this occasion, I would like this post spread wide and far for any parents who have children. Please sit them down and show them these pictures. These are the damaging results of something known as the deodorant challenge, which is currently doing the rounds in Yale and literally involves spraying deodorant onto someone else or yourself for as long as possible. It's that simple, and the results are severe secondary burns. These pictures below are my 10-year-old daughter's arm 3 weeks on, and she may still as yet require a skin graft.
Oh, wow.
Thin the herd, people.
And if you, but I think that kids think, just like some of these other, just like eating a hot pepper or sitting on a block of ice, they just think the pain is going to be temporary, and then you're going to get up from it, and it's going to be over, and it's going to be a laugh to see who can go furthest. I don't think they realize the damage, in some cases permanent, one can do to your skin when you're talking about frostbite. Now, it is unclear whether this is a challenge that is spreading far and wide. It's like I said, it's kind of back on the radar right now. There aren't a lot of cases. There are some. But this isn't like the Tide Pods where you can't avoid them on YouTube. You
right.
know what I mean? So not everybody's doing it yet, so get on it, kids.
I don't think that's the point.
But, I mean, I guess that's just the type of thing. I don't know how – she's 10, okay? If you're 10, you don't really understand frostbite.
Much worse things.
Turning into second-degree burns, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you do dumb things, Allie, as a kid?
Of course.
Do you remember any?
Well, remember the whole conversation about me wanting a cast, so I would launch myself downstairs
right.
with roller skates.
Right.
But that wasn't dumb. That's understandable. Casts are cool.
I'm sorry.
You know.
You were too old to snort condoms, though. That came after you.
Yeah, that was after me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think that many people were using spray deodorant.
Same.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I thought it was more roll-on these
days.
Same. Yeah, so I don't know.
Let's start the roll-on challenge.
Yeah.
just
all day.
I'm not feeling anything.
I know we talked about this on the show before, Kevin, but another thing that I did, and I think if I remember correctly, you may have done the same thing, which was friends and I used to throw screwdrivers at each other's feet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, to see how close you can get to the person's feet. And then, of course,
like steak knives. We did steak knives.
With that person not moving their foot type of thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, of course, you know, one time I threw one that went right through the kid's tennis shoe and, you know, punctured his foot. So, I mean, but that's it. How could that not happen at some point?
Right? I mean, that's a given for everyone.
We're not sharpshooters. I mean, I'm just saying kids are dumb.
Right.
That's my takeaway here. So, anyway, I guess don't spray deodorant on your skin until it burns you.
That's a good tip.
It's good. Yeah. Thank you, Bean.
What if I'm sitting in the chair and Cher walks in with a deodorant spray?
Oh, that's how she tortures you?
Oh, we'll find out.
Maybe we'll find out tomorrow. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Give me the dirt.
Right. Okay. Bean makes his guess. We talk to Dr. Drew like we do on Thursdays. Let's see. We have Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick, who are the writers of a little movie called Deadpool 2.
Wow.
Very excited about that. They're going to be in here. Brad Williams, comedian, our friend, in studio. Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter about this crazy Allison Mack sex cult.
Well, we reported it on the show a couple weeks ago when she was arrested, but now there's been some time to do a deep dive into that cult that she was a part of. And did you guys read the article?
I did.
It's insane, isn't it?
We're going to talk to him about that as well. And we've got your tickets for the K-Rock Advanced IMAX screening of Solo, A Star Wars Story. And that's coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. So keep listening for how to do that. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Cal Jam 18 tickets on the show today, ahead of them going on sale this morning at 10. Also, Solo, A Star Wars Story. And you can join Megan Holiday broadcasting live from Knott's Berry Farm this Saturday. That's going to be a fun time, too. All of that on the way this morning on K-Rock. First, though, Allie, what's happening this Thursday?
Well, what's happening is a new poll published by the... Nope.
Oh?
Yeah. LL. Yeah. A new poll published by the Huffington Post yesterday says, although everyone's talking about the royal wedding on Saturday, most Britons and most Americans couldn't care less.
I would assume that was true in America, but in Britain?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
No one over there cares.
Really?
A few.
Huh.
Like,
aren't they supposed to care?
Well,
I want to hear more about this. I mean, I did see the, you know, I did see them clearing the streets for the 100,000 spectators they're expected to descend upon Windsor.
Right. We have 100,000 people out for a Red Sox parade. Doesn't mean the majority of the U.S. cares. Know what I'm saying?
Agreed. Yeah. Sure.
That's my example, and it wasn't bad.
But I'm saying in England, 100,000 people are showing up just to try to catch a glimpse. And I am sure, I bet you over half the TVs in Britain will be watching that wedding. What is Huffington Post telling you?
Did we talk about the woman that flew from the United States and slept on the ground for 4 days?
We have not.
Oh, okay. Sweetie. Okay.
I just want them to wave at me and smile, and it will all be worth it.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, it's not the greatest poll ever, but they polled 1,600 adults in the UK and 2,000 in the US and shows that only 28% of people here are interested and only 30% of Brits care about it either. I wouldn't... Please hold. I'm having a slight coughing problem today.
That's very upsetting news.
Thank you. Thank you. I wouldn't think the majority over there care. Would you?
I would have assumed that, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Bean?
It's their freaking monarchy.
Well,
not ours.
Yeah. I would have thought that, like I said, I would have thought that over half the TVs in England would be tuned to the royal wedding. If you live in England and someone that close to the throne is getting married on live TV, I can't imagine most people not at least turning it on. But you could absolutely be right.
But they're also saying that it's going to get more views because it's combining not only Prince Harry, who's kind of the most beloved one over there, and an American.
Right.
So you'll have all those American TVs that some might not have cared as much, but since it's one of our own.
Right.
I don't know. Listen, all this to say, Meghan Markle has come out and officially said that her father will not be walking her down the aisle. She said, sadly, my father will not be attending our wedding. I've always cared for my father and hope he can be given the space he needs to focus on his health. That whole situation.
That whole thing.
Kevin, you better be ready in case Meghan calls you.
Make my move?
She needs someone to walk her down the aisle.
I know, but you were saying the other day, that's my time. That's my move.
That's your 30 seconds.
Right.
Right.
Well, she's in a wedding dress walking up the aisle to marry a prince.
Right.
Hey, Bean, just the name Delphine Gibson mean anything to you?
Delphine Gibson. No, it does not.
Okay, because I know you were upset about the oldest person in the world that passed away.
Oh, well, this has been a bad month for oldest people in the world. It's hard to keep track of them all.
Okay, well, she passed away at the age of 114 last week. She credited her long life to faith in God. But the new oldest person in America, Mm-hmm. 113, and her name is Lessie Brown. And she says the secret to her longevity is sweet potatoes.
Nope.
She ate one every day of her life until she reached 110. I want to know what's happened in the last 3 years.
What happened to that?
She's like, gotta cut out this starch.
And then went straight downhill.
Really get in shape. So, yeah, there's a new oldest woman in America, Lessie Brown.
I can just about walk. I can't hardly walk. I can't see too far, and I can't hear too good.
I don't want to be 114.
Ever.
I do.
I know you do, but you'd be miserable.
But I saw the picture of Lessie, and her head is shrunken like a coconut. I mean, it's just a tiny little person, like she's barely alive. It doesn't look great.
That's what I'm saying.
It doesn't look great.
And that wasn't just overnight. That's been the past decade.
Right.
Maybe two.
Well, that's what you get for giving up on sweet potatoes.
Right.
That's true.
She stuck with it.
Yeah. All right. Good times, you guys. Some birthdays for you. Dancer Derek Hough. Actress Nikki Reed. Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan. Who makes this list?
I'm surprised that's on there.
How about that?
New Kid on the Block, Jordan Knight. TV host Craig Ferguson. Nine Inch Nails singer Trent Reznor.
Let's Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore. What if your name, say, was Vagina Patterson?
And that was the last we ever heard from Trent Reznor.
I gotta tell you, Jed is the only person that could run a question like that by Trent and have him participate.
I love it
And
so
we've interviewed
much.
Him maybe eight times, and he does not like to play along with that kind of stuff.
Oh, I loved it. Sports announcer Jim Nantz and friend of the show, close friend of Kevin Ryder, the man that you were on stage with for 5 minutes before Blink-182 came out, actor, comedian, Bob Saget. And that's what's happening.
Luke writes in with some advice for you, Kevin. Do not go to EDC in Las Vegas this weekend.
How come?
Cher is trying to warn you something bad is going to happen.
How does he know that? How does he know they're related?
He's just suggesting maybe that's why, you know, Cher's got quite a history of dance hits. It's very possible that she's going to do something with EDC. She's coming to you to let you know from the future that bad things will happen if you go. He's just throwing it out there, man. You wouldn't want to get out there, have this go wrong, and have not heard from Scott. He's trying.
Tell Scott thank you
okay,
for the input.
Hey, in about 20 minutes, we're going to be opening up the phones here at K-Rock, and we're going to be looking for you to take some tickets off our hands to see Solo, A Star Wars Story. Of course, it opens everywhere on May 25th, but you get to see it on the 22nd at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum. What are we going to be asking for this time around? No more Star Wars impressions, right?
The impressions were not great. Mm-hmm. But one guy came through and gave us another idea, and that is to do a one-man show or a one-woman show of your favorite scene in Star Wars. So you have to do the voices, the sound effects.
Oh, all the characters.
Yes, here's the guy that spurred it.
General Kenobi, you are a bold one. You fool! I have been trained in your Jedi arts by Count Dooku. Then he turns on his four lightsabers. Attack, Kenobi.
So that's all you.
I love that guy.
All right, so your Star Wars one-man show, any scene from any movie, start thinking about it, and we'll open up the phones in about 15 minutes or so, and you can call in and try to win some Star Wars tickets. I'm in.
Agreed. We have an advanced IMAX screening of Lucasfilm's Solo, A Star Wars Story, and we're going to give you some tickets coming up in about 10 minutes. You can call now if you want to do a one-man show or a one-woman show of your favorite scene in any Star Wars movie. Sort of have to do all the sound effects, all the voices, everything.
I hope somebody does Luke Skywalker seeing the Princess Leia hologram coming out of R2-D2. That would be a great 1-2-3 character scene, I think.
Sure.
So whatever your favorite scene is from any Star Wars movie, you have to do a one-man show, do all the parts. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. Somebody wins tickets to see the movie ahead of it opening on May 25th. Hey, you guys, it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Ooh.
B-Mix's Guess, yeah.
Who gets penis slapped?
Penis a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just want to tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for B-Mix's Guess.
Yes.
This is going to be the easiest and fastest round of Bean Makes His Guess ever.
Oh, no.
And I'm not even lying about that.
Oh, no. That's always a bad sign.
Because it involves everyone's favorite band, possibly the biggest rock band in the world and one of the best, the Foo Fighters. It involves the Foo Fighters, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 a.m. at caljamfest.com to see the band on October the 6th at the Glen Helen Regional Park and Festival Grounds. They're joined by all sorts of other great bands, Tenacious D, Garbage, Iggy Pop, and so much more. And I was fascinated on how big the Foo Fighters was, and I was looking yesterday on Spotify, and I want you to come up with, for me, with the 10 most streamed Foo Fighters songs on Spotify. The 10 most popular Foo Fighters songs on Spotify. They have dozens and dozens of great songs that we play here on K-Rock.
Okay.
What are the top 10? Unfortunately, that's the only ones they break down in order is 1 to 10. So if you come up with number 11, I won't know it. I only have the top 10. But let's just go around in order. Beer Mug, you're going to be playing this morning?
Yeah.
Allie McKay, you standing by?
Sure.
Kevin, you're at the head of the table. You get to go first. The most popular Foo Fighter song on Spotify with over 211 million streams.
All Star.
I am sorry. I am sorry. No, it is
what?
Not.
What?
It is not
number
All
11.
Star.
It's probably number 11.
I think you're thinking of Smash Mouth.
Oh,
but
right.
Excellent guess. Beer Bug, what say you, sir?
First song that came to mind was Everlong.
It has to be Everlong. 211 million plus streams for
that's
that song.
That's crazy.
By the way. That's insane. Yes. Miss Allie McKay.
That There Goes My Hero one.
You're going to say. There goes my hero. That is the number five, the fifth most popular Foo Fighters song with over 85 million streams.
Hmm.
Kevin, comes around to you.
Thong Song.
Ah, no, I'm sorry.
Come on.
Song, again, might have been just outside the top 10. I'm sorry, no Thong Song. Bugsy.
Monkey Wrench.
You say Monkey Wrench?
I say.
Yeah. Number 8, 49 million plus streams. Did I say 8? I'm sorry. That's number, yeah, 8. Number 8. Miss Ellen McKay.
Run.
Ooh, what a great song.
That's a great song.
Run is number 9.
Yeah.
Over 43 million streams. All right, so far so good. Kevin, I'm looking at you.
My Humps.
Oh,
wow.
Right?
I feel...
Because neither of you saw that one coming.
Wow. I'm starting to feel like you're not taking this seriously.
How dare you?
All right. Bugs, your turn.
Big Me?
No. No Big Me.
No?
We played that to death for many, many years there in K-Rock, but I guess it has fallen off a little bit as more and more songs have become more popular to replace it. All right, not a bad guess, though.
I heard the elevator Muzak version of that the other day.
It's a great story. Okay.
Allie.
Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Is someone
getting the best? Number 3. 165 million plus streams for Best of You by Foo Fighters. Chip, I'm going to need that tape as well.
Yep.
Right?
Kevin, you're up.
Gangnam Style.
Oh, come on now. Come on.
Kevin's not playing.
No.
I'm playing.
So you've gotten number 1, you've gotten number 3, you've gotten number 5, you've gotten number 8, and you've gotten number 9. Muggs, let's try to fill in some blanks before we run out of time.
All My Life.
How about All My Life? Searching for something. That is number 6 of the most popular Foo Fighters songs with over 77 million streams. Allie.
Times Like These.
No Times Like These. Good guess. But again, they have so many songs. All right, let's go around one more time. Kevin, this is your chance to get on the board.
Walk Like an Egyptian. Yes?
Muggs, your final guess.
Learn to Mother Effin' Fly.
That is number 4 with over 128 million streams for Foo Fighters. Allie, your final guess, please.
I'm just going to do a newer one. Sky is a Neighborhood.
Sky is a Neighborhood.
Sky is a Neighborhood.
That is number 10. Great song, too, by the way. 41 million streams. You guys did really, really well. In fact, I think you only missed 2.
Was one of them the Pretender?
One of them was the Pretender at number 2. So good. That's a great guess. And the only other one you missed was number 7. Number 7 was their song, Walk. Man, you hear those back-to-back, and you realize why the Foo Fighters are such a great band, and that's going to be such a great night out there for Cal Jam. And we got tickets you can win on the program later on today, and they go on sale this morning at 10 a.m. This has been Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah!
All right, you guys ready to Star Wars it up?
We are.
Solo, a Star Wars story at the Edwards Irvine Spectrum, May 22nd in IMAX, by the way. It opens everywhere on the 25th. Hit it, Steve!
It's the one-man show. Act-out scenes, you know. Just give it a go, but don't you blow, whoa, whoa. Get in character, be a serious actor. It's time for the one-man show, whoa, whoa.
So I'm not an actor, but you, comedic-wise, like, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but, I mean, that's the arts right there, you know, laughter, sad, cry.
That's going to be in the top 10 at the end of the year. All right, let's start. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get in on this. We got room for your one-man show. Why don't we start on line two, please? Let's go to Robert. He is in Huntington Beach. He's trying to win himself some Solo, a Star Wars story tickets. Let's find out what he's going to be doing for us.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for holding on and listening. What are you going to do for us today?
I'm going to do the climax to Return of the Jedi.
Okay.
All right.
Here's Robert.
You cannot hide forever, Luke. I will not fight you. Give yourself to the dark side. It is the only way you can save your friends. Yes, your thoughts betray you. Your feelings for them are strong, especially for sister. So, you have a twin sister. Your feelings have now betrayed her, too. Obi-Wan was wise to hide her from me. Now his failure is complete. If you will not turn to the dark side, then perhaps she will. Cut off hand.
Okay. I really need the whole second half of the movie just to see.
I enjoyed that so much. Boy, is Luke a pussy, too, by the way. Isn't he? What a whitey little bitch. All right, Robert, great job, my friend. Let's try line three. This is going to be Dan Pico Rivera up next on the Kevin DeBeat Show. Hey, Dan.
Good morning, everyone.
You think you can beat that?
I think anyone can.
Okay.
Oh, all right. Wow, talking smack, Dan.
What are you going to be doing for us today?
I'm doing those scenes from A New Hope when Luke and Uncle Owen meet C-3PO.
Gotcha. Love it.
All right, here we go. So first, Uncle Owen. All right, so what I really need is a robot who can speak binary, C-3PO. Sir, my first function was to speak binary to communication. All right. Luke, come over here. I need you to clean these robots up in the field by midday. Oh, but I want to go to Tosche Station for some power converters. You can waste time with your friends later, Luke.
That's Luke's whiniest scene ever, too, by the way.
It is, yeah.
That was really good. I appreciate you, Dan. Thank you so much. Rob's line one. He is in Newport Beach. Rob, thank you for listening and for holding on. We're doing one-man stories.
What's up, party people?
Hi there. What are you going to do for us today?
Luke versus the Emperor on the Return Jedi Death Star.
Wow, there's a lot of Luke today. All right, let's hear it.
Star Wars.
All right.
Well, there's a lot of characters, right? A lot of scenes.
Sure.
All right, so Luke looks at his hand. Never. I'll never turn to the dark side. You failed, Your Highness. I am a Jedi, like my father before me. Emperor, scowling at Luke. So be it, Jedi. Fast forward VHS. And then back. You will be... If you will not be turned, you will be destroyed. Later. Young fool. Only now, at the end, you understand. Evil skills are no match for the power of the dark side.
I mean, come on.
Is that...
That's pretty strong.
Are we hearing a bunch of lightsabers? Is that what we're hearing there?
That's amazing.
Electric bolts coming out of his hands.
Coming out of the Emperor's hands. Okay, very good. I like that very much. All right, hang on. Let's do one more. Let's go to line four, La Crescenta. This is going to be Brian. Brian, thank you for calling. We're giving away tickets for Solo, a Star Wars story. What scene are you going to be doing for us?
Okay, this is a little dialogue between Chewbacca and Han Solo.
Okay.
For the Solo movie. Chewbacca. Han Solo. Last it up, fuzzball.
Okay. I mean, short and sweet.
It was. I mean, it's a very memorable scene.
It didn't go on too long.
Very well done. All right, you hold on, I guess. Guys, what if
everybody got tickets.
What if?
What if everybody got tickets?
Even Dan with that smack talking and not really coming through?
Right?
Just kidding, Dan.
I just thought they were all just so fun.
They were. Let's give them all
if
tickets.
If we've got them, I'm saying we have.
The impressions were so bad earlier in the week that we do have a few extra pair of tickets.
Okay. Everybody on hold. You win tickets.
Lucky.
And thanks for playing the game.
It's the one-man show.
Welcome to 6.7 K-Rock. It's KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
A little something for everybody in the 7 o'clock hour. Our friend comedian Brad Williams is going to be joining us right after 7. Then we got some bad news for Omar. And then we're going to talk about a sex cult with the Hollywood Reporter's Matt Bellany, which is an insane, crazy story. It's a Scientology-esque cult where the dude ends up having dozens in his harem.
Yeah.
And gets other women to recruit women for his harem. That doesn't seem legal, does it?
Well, turns out
it's not.
It's not.
So anyway, it's an amazing cover story on the Hollywood Reporter. So all of that between 7 and 8 here on K-Rock. Thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, you're up. What's happening?
Well, three CW series will take their final bows during the 2018-2019 TV season. As had been speculated, Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend will draw to a close following their fifth and fourth seasons. The network has now confirmed. And then we found out that iZombie's forthcoming fifth season will be its last.
No!
I know. Bummer. But, Kevin, you were mentioning you like it when they let you know it's coming to a close. We want to tie it up with a bow.
Yeah, of the two where they just go, hey, the last episode already aired.
Yeah,
or they've
it.
Already filmed them and they're just going right. to burn them off. I'd rather they get a chance to end the story. That's awesome.
Absolutely. So Crazy Ex-Girlfriend will be the first to finish its run. It's going to return this fall, but at a later time, Fridays at 9, 8 Central. And then Jane and iZombie are being held until mid-season. But I agree. It's good to be able to actually have a conclusion to a show that you've been, you know, invested in that
yeah,
you love.
I like that.
Yeah. Something that Dylan Sprouse doesn't like. Do you know the name Dylan Sprouse?
I do. Why?
He was, we first met him and his brother Cole. They were the twins from Big Daddy way back when, from that Adam Sandler movie.
Okay.
And then they were the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. They did a ton of Disney stuff. Now I believe that Cole, his twin brother, is on Riverdale. But Dylan Sprouse is not impressed with Jared Leto's DM etiquette.
Hmm.
He wound up tweeting.
How does he know about his DM etiquette?
Well, that's the question. Oh. He wound up tweeting, yo, Jared Leto, now that you've slid into the DMs of every female model aged 18 to 25, what would you say your success rate is?
Oh, I can answer that. 99%.
Pretty high, yeah.
Don't you think if Dylan's tweeting that Jared slid into the DMs of maybe an ex of Dylan's and he is a little
sure.
PO'd?
Yeah, because why would Dylan care who Jared Leto is dating?
Right.
Otherwise, unless there was some sort of a personal insult to him.
Yeah.
Also, how would he know? I mean, I don't think he would know unless it was somehow somebody
Someone
showed him.
Related to him, yeah. Interesting.
Hmm. Look, you just have to give it up to Jared. The dude's got game.
How does it go when you slide into DMs, Bean?
About the same, 99%.
I find that I'm blocked a lot.
99% block. Excellent. Well, thank you to everyone that sent me the story yesterday about how basically every critic that has seen Han Solo, the movie Solo, A Star Wars Story, has said that Donald Glover's Lando Calrissian is just phenomenal.
Love it.
And that Lucasfilm president Kathleen Kennedy confirmed to Premiere France that the next standalone was going to be Lando Calrissian.
Awesome.
Until
oh.
I started looking into it because I thought that is an odd thing for her to tell Premiere France.
Yeah.
And not like a big Disney release about what it was. So here's the update. Following the publication of our article, Lucasfilm informs us that there would have been a misunderstanding between our journalist and Kathleen Kennedy. Quote, we would love to tell a story about Lando Calrissian one day, but it's not relevant. It would be fun to tell the story of Han and Chewie. So it was translated incorrectly to every single publication that then ran with it. And Lucasfilm was like, hello.
Hey,
hello.
We didn't say that.
Here's what we actually did say. But let's be honest. There's going to be a Lando Calrissian movie.
I hope so.
Right? That'd don't you think?
Sweet. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Absolutely. And Kevin, I don't want you to worry. Elton John will be performing at the royal wedding. I know. There was a lot of speculation.
Man.
He was booked in Vegas.
That was
then
close.
There was a scheduling conflict. Then he was going, but he wasn't going to perform. But we still don't know if it's going to be at the wedding ceremony or at a reception later. I feel like we could bet on it.
Sure. You can.
Absolutely.
What are you hearing about the Spice Girls, yay or nay?
I am hearing that they are not performing and that only three of them were invited.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense to me.
Hmm.
How are you going to leave out two of the Spice Girls?
Yeah.
Right? Or one. How many are there?
Is Harry friends with the Spice Girls? Is that, are they coming?
Isn't Harry friends with everyone?
Well, maybe so.
Right. Long night in Vegas.
Right.
Baby Spice.
Right.
Kevin, what time are you actually going to get up on Saturday morning to start watching the coverage? Because I think it starts at 1 a.m. West Coast
midnight.
Time.
I'm going to get up at midnight.
Yeah.
Get up
at
midnight.
Make sure I'm ready. Mm-hmm. Right in front of the TV. Okay.
Either that or I'm going to be in Vegas and not paying any attention at all.
But you've got, like, your whole setup, right? You've got all of your food, your different, like, tea
sure,
towels.
Of course, a tiara.
Tiara.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Sure.
You
like,
are ready.
Like I do.
Like you do. Some birthdays for you. Jim Nantz, Craig Ferguson, Jordan Knight, Nikki Reed, Derek Huff, Bob Saget, and Nine Inch Nails singer Trent Reznor. And that's what's happening.
I don't want to say it's been a while since I've seen Brad Williams, but he is sporting a lumberjack beard now. You look like a completely different Snow White dwarf now.
Well, now I'm going for utter and complete badassness.
Okay.
So, like,
when does that kick in?
I have the biggest little man syndrome, Napoleon complex, whatever. So I'm just gonna go full. I'm gonna buy the Porsche.
Okay. Good.
My wife is a ninja.
Right.
And now I sleep next to a dog that weighs more than me. So we're good.
Do not talk about your new wife like that. That is a terrible thing to say. She's a lovely person.
Completely different bitch.
Brad, have you been working out also? You look incredibly buff this morning.
Listen, because now, not to talk too much about this dog to be one of these people, but I have to be able to compete with my dog now.
Okay. Oh. All right, let's talk about this dog. What kind of dog you have?
Well, it's the kind of dog that my wife decided to get while I was on the road.
Oh,
and
okay.
This is literally a Bill Burr bit come to life, so I don't want people to text me and be like, you stole that. It's like, no, it literally happened where I was on the road. My wife went to a shelter and got a pit bull. And this is a...
Why? Did she want a dog? Was she into the rescue thing?
What
was
that?
Both.
All. And she sends me photos of, like, hey, this is the dog. And I'm like, do you realize that when I get home, there's going to be an animal, there's going to be something in the bed mm-hmm. that has a larger penis than mine? That is not cool.
A larger body than yours.
Yeah, everything larger than me.
Wow.
Did your wife consider the size of her husband when she chose the breed of dog to adopt?
Obviously not.
Or obviously.
Or maybe I was getting too handsy and this is how she puts a stop to it.
I feel like a pit bull could, and by the way, I'm no dispersions on pit bulls. They're sweet, lovely, loving, wonderful pets, and I would have one in a heartbeat, but I feel like a pit bull could take you down, dude.
Yeah, like basically if the pit bull looks at me and thinks, I wonder if that squeaks,
mm-hmm.
I'm out.
Yeah, true.
There's nothing I can do.
Do
but,
you squeak on the way or no?
I mean, I did, but kind of like, you can go to Instagram if you're wondering how our introduction went.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to Instagram, my Instagram, and see the video. And
That's at Funny Brad? At Brad Williams Comic.
Yeah, at Brad Williams Comic. And I got nervous because before I walked in the door, my wife takes out her phone and goes, I want to document this. And I'm like, oh, that's not good. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm like, yeah, that's when she thinks she's going to send in the video and get $10,000.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
I'm looking at it.
Yeah.
Chip, are you pregnant?
I walked in the door And he looked at me and just jumped on me and just started licking the heck out of my face. Aww. And it's the it's the best video. I love this dog now.
Now, you used the word foster dog when you came in here.
Yeah, we're not
what
foster.
Part of this is foster?
We're not. Like, I said we're fostering the dog, right. which technically we are. And then everyone commented and said this is a foster fail, which I found out is when people adopt and then, like, say, I'm not letting you go.
I assume that happens a lot.
Yeah, a lot. And, like, here's the deal. I've never slept better. My wife is a fourth-degree black belt in Taekwondo.
Right.
My dog is a pit bull that looks like he's been doing curls in the yard for 20 years.
So you're on the couch.
And I'm just like, I'm good. Bring it on. Come at me, bro.
Your wife got the dog while you were out of town. Does that mean the dog already had a name when you got home?
Yeah, Diego.
Diego.
Diego. That's awesome.
All right.
Diego the pit bull. And I'm like, what? And I know there was a show about dwarves on Animal Planet who fostered pit bulls, who, like, took care of pit bulls.
Oh, I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
It was called Pit Boss. So, like, I'm literally going with the stereotypes right now.
Might as well.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. The next time I come home, I'm going to be wearing the green suit. I'm going to have the pot of gold. Let's just go full stereotype.
This is the voice of our friend Brad Williams here on the Kevin Beecher. You can see him at the Flappers Comedy Club this weekend, by the way. Tickets on sale for Friday and Saturday night. Tickets is $20. Flapperscomedy.com. By the way, I don't know what your plans are for the rest of the summer, but Kevin was talking about you off the air yesterday, Brad.
Oh, no. What happened?
Well, I mean, there are a flurry of texts have been flying by in the past 2 days.
Okay.
You know, Captain Bad Idea.
Oh, that's my brother-in-law.
Yes.
Yeah.
And John.
Okay, I know John.
Those two guys and Brad and I went to the World Cup in Brazil.
Yeah, did not stop me from getting mugged. Thanks, guys.
Correct. there's a lot of talk about trying to make Russia. I'm just putting that out there.
Okay.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. I've got an access to Russia. I know a guy. So we're going to call him up. We're going to get us in. Complete protection. I know a couple of lovely ladies that can come by the hotel and do what my dog does on the couch.
Now, I know that, Kevin, when it first came up and you realized it was going to be Russia, you all got together and you said, it's just too dangerous. There's no way we're not going to do it. And you kind of put it to bed. But now that you're starting to see the ads for the World Cup, you're realizing how close it is.
It's driving me crazy.
You're starting to reconsider, it sounds
like. So I said, I don't want to be the first one to bring this up, but is anyone else feeling like we should be in Russia? And immediately, I got an email with all of the information of the cities where the games were available.
Oh, God.
And the games playing, right?
Almost like he was waiting to send that.
It was really pretty quick.
So I guess what it comes down to, Brad, is, are you in?
You in, you out.
Well, here's the thing. I know why my brother-in-law is on this, because in the last World Cup that we went to in Brazil, he was not a father. Now he is a father of two.
Okay, so let me just throw this in there.
So
it's Captain Bad Idea, and it's my friend John and Brad and I.
Yeah.
Captain Bad Idea did at one point text that Katie says that it's going to have to be without Captain Bad Idea.
Yeah. That's my sister in that he's out because he's got two kids. And
there's still three of us. That's the way I look at it.
You ever been to Russia, Brad?
I have, and I went to Russia. Yeah, I did some military shows in Kazakhstan, and we had to stop off in Moscow, and I got attacked while being in a wheelchair.
Attacked?
Yeah,
by
Russia security.
While being in a wheelchair.
Well, like, here's the thing about Russia is, I don't know if this is unions or whatever. If you're in a wheelchair, you can't go in the same wheelchair from the plane to the airport and then go around the airport. You have to switch wheelchairs once you get into the airport.
Okay.
We did not know that.
Okay.
So I had a minor medical thing go on while on this trip. I'm okay.
Right.
It's fine. But I was in a wheelchair and no one spoke English, so we just wheeled the wheelchair off the plane and in into the airport, and you would have thought that we were bringing in, like, secrets from the Cold War, because we were swarmed by security who grabbed the wheelchair and just start shaking us and, like, trying to get me out of the wheelchair, and Captain Bad Idea is about ready to fight the guy, and, like, because we don't know. Finally, they're like screaming at us in Russian. And then finally, someone who is just a passenger who happens to speak Russian and English comes over and like translates. Otherwise, it would have been an international incident. Yeah,
be in Siberia right now.
Yeah, I was about to call Bert Kreischer because he's got some stories.
Yeah, he does.
So he's a machine.
It sounds like you guys need a translator is what it sounds like.
Yeah. Do you speak Russian, Kevin?
Fluently. Okay. I don't even speak English.
Then I'm in.
Brad Williams, Friday night, Saturday night, Flappers Comedy Club, flapperscomedy.com or yeah. bradwilliamscomedy.com. We got to take a break. We come back. We need your help with something. We got to break some bad news to Omar. And I understand while you're here today, Brad, you're going to be picking up the Kevin Amin Instagram account, right?
I'm taking over.
It for us.
I'm taking over the Instagram. Make sure your knees look pretty because okay. That's all that I'm going to get photos of.
We'll be right back. Okay, Rock. Imagine what it would be like going into a room and saying, all right, we wrote Deadpool, one of the biggest hits of the year. Now we have to do it again and make it better.
Right.
That is what Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick have done. They'll be joining us in studio to tell us all about Deadpool 2 just after 8 here on K-Rock. First, though, DJ Omar Khan.
Good morning. How are you guys?
First question is, what the hell are you doing on Tinder?
I'm not on Tinder. I don't tend. I'm
Your
happily
wife
married.
Wanted me to ask you that.
Yeah. I'm happily
Is
tend married.
A verb?
Right? No. I wasn't going to let that go either.
I don't tend.
You don't tend?
What?
No one tends.
People don't tend?
No one says that.
You, I mean, oh, really? I'm sure that Brad and his wife are still on Tinder. I don't doubt that for a second. But
Thrinder.
You, Thrinder. Oh, Thrinder. That's right.
Let's get this ass. Right. With no but, extra sausages.
But, oh, you came in and had been taking a look at some profiles that surprised you. What's the story here?
Yeah, so, you know, we all here try to pitch ideas for the show. We try to be helpful. So I ran across this article on the mirror.co.uk. It's a London mm-hmm. website or whatever. And it's an article that says Tinder's rudest profiles. And some of these chicks are super funny. So I brought this to Bean.
Some of them are funny. Some of them are super hot as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I say, Jasmine, 21, she has jugs for days, and it says... If you could, if you got a sweet tooth, you can taste my watermelons.
Right.
Who's not going to click on that?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Everyone's going to click on that.
Exactly. Right. Thank you.
But look at her.
So why, Hold on, look why at her. Are you guys not talking about this?
Look
is
at
what
the
I pic- said.
Look at the
at
picture.
Her picture.
Yes. Yeah. I am looking.
Do you think for a second that's the real person? Do you think that's her post?
That's what's on the profile.
Right, I know
no.
that.
Okay. Oh
the person, every single yeah. one you brought in.
The person who wrote that looks more like Dave than that right. woman.
That That's is what we're exactly saying.
What's
what
the
I was
point?
Saying
They're not supermodels.
What's a, isn't Tinder a hookup app?
Yes.
Yeah. It's a boning app, right?
Yes.
Sure. So why wouldn't this be real?
Because do you know how much fun it is to go on an app and get guys to, like, go insane and, like... Yeah, you.
How is that fun?
You can catfish people like amazingly.
We don't, Brad. What's it like?
Well, let me tell you. Let me tell you.
I'm just taking a look at Cody here.
Yeah.
Cody's super hot.
Yeah.
And it says, just to clarify, I am single and I don't need to chew when eating a banana. This is it. That is not.
Do you know what that means?
That is, I do.
Yeah,
and that is not Cody.
That's Cody.
That is not Cody.
Why do you think a supermodel would put that up?
Right.
Because she wants to bone.
But a supermodel,
she could walk
she's
outside.
Having the heart.
Right, no, Ali's no, no, right. No. A supermodel could bone any minute
Absolutely
of any day.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
What, are you crazy?
No, I'm not. Because we, time and time again, we've taken calls from hot girls
right.
who have a hard time meeting people. So they would hop on this app to just bone dudes.
You know what? Yes.
Just like Katie 21.
That's totally
and she
safe.
Writes, we'll show butt pics.
Here's the thing. I will.
Come
I,
on.
I will stand by Omar with the hot chicks don't get as approached as much.
Sure.
But we're talking about four dates for a relationship.
Yeah.
This is to bone. And
right.
guess what? Hot chicks can bone all day, all night.
Yeah.
They can walk to a grocery store and say, you, boom, let's do it. They are not going
yeah,
on Tinder.
They're not going on Tinder or Craigslist, where the likelihood of murder outweighs the likelihood
Kristen,
of being boned.
25. Look what she writes.
Mm-hmm.
Who wants to practice their Australian kiss? It's like a French kiss, except you go down under.
You know what that means? Please stop making that noise.
Please don't stop why, making that noise.
Why are you quagmiring under the desk?
Right?
And yes, that's a verb.
Look at the lovely Hope. Okay, she's okay. 20. She uh-huh. writes... My name is Hope. The P is silent.
The
P is silent.
Hope.
You see?
Yeah.
The penis silent.
Oh, wants these ladies to be real.
They
so
are real.
Much.
Really does. Stop real. Crushing my dreams.
They're supermodels. They wouldn't. What?
You guys Listen, are just I understand, cynical bastards.
I understand, Omar. You're married. You're a father. You have to look outside for a little stimulation every now and then. So you want to believe this is real.
Listen, all
you
these
want
girls.
To believe.
Have hearts of gold. They're pure of heart. Mm-hmm. And they are real.
In our next break, Omar will be explaining flat earth.
This is insane.
Listen.
Sorry to crush your dreams,
You guys
have
don't
you also
understand
found
the tins. Listen, I know the about tins. The tins, okay?
You know the tins?
You guys go,
let's Omar these needs it, real. You guys. Omar needs it. Let's just let him believe
Thank
it, okay?
Thank you. It is real.
Brad Williams playing Flappers Comedy Club. Go see him in Burbank tomorrow night and Friday night. Two shows both nights. Tickets on sale now, flapperscomedy.club. .com. You're going to go take over the Instagram right now, Brad, so we'll say goodbye to you.
I will, and Omar, just one more thing. So do you believe strippers actually want to have sex with you?
No, but they love me.
All right. My job is done here.
Hold on. Allie, this story has everything we love to read about, doesn't it?
I have been
Except
doing...
murder.
That we know of.
That we know of,
I mean, a lot of people, the story did die. We're talking about the NXIVM cult. I was off the show for a few weeks, as you know, for medical leave. And when this story came out, I honestly thought somebody was playing Mad Libs. There's no way that Allison Mack, the cute little blonde actress who played Chloe for all those seasons on Smallville, had really been arrested in New York for being part of running a sex cult where she was recruiting other women to come be in the cult leader's harem. I thought, this isn't real life. And I knew there was a lot to the story, but thanks to an outstanding cover story by The Hollywood Reporter, our friend Matt Bellany is on the line. Matt, now first of all, welcome back to the Kevin DeBeach Show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, and welcome back to you.
Thank you, sir. Your reporter, Scott Johnson, it looks like he's put a lot of time and effort into this story, and it's unbelievable how in-depth it is and how far back it goes and how many people are involved.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes we do stories just for you, Bean, and this is one of them.
This is it, right?
And Allie, you too. No, our writers, Scott Johnson and Rebecca Sun, really went deep on this, and they found that not only was she allegedly the a ringleader of this, she was the number two, allegedly, in this sex cult to the leader, and was essentially going out and recruiting women to be in this kind of offset of the NXIVM cult that was specifically designed to create a harem around this leader. And they were branding women, allegedly, with this odd, you know, brand that that had their initials in it. So these women had, like, a brand on them. And they
think about that. Stop right there.
Yeah.
Think about them holding girls down and branding them like you would a cow with the leaders of the cult's initials on their bodies.
But
I mean, this is crazy that this is happening.
They weren't even holding them down, allegedly. This was something that the women were convinced was necessary for them to be productive members of this group. So, you know, when you get into all these issues of brainwashing and, you know, group dynamics, this was something where Allison Mack was allegedly part of a mass brainwashing effort to get these women to believe that they needed to service this leader.
And they had to give up before they even got into this different sect of NXIVM. They had to give up either secrets about sex life, being molested, raped, whatever, or naked pictures that they could then hold against them as collateral if they wanted to leave the group.
And we're talking about Scientology, right?
No. But there are a lot of similarities, right?
There are some similarities, although no one, you know, this is a very different thing. But
right.
But what you, you know, You hit it on the head there, because people don't go out and say, you know what, I'd like to join a sex cult. What happens is NXIVM had a front. There was a self-help image. There was a personal betterment, and all of a sudden you're taking classes, you're paying money, you're advancing into next levels of this organization, and that's when you get the hard sell from someone like Allison Mack, who has this fresh face, it is this known actress. Someone who you end up trusting, and then next thing you know, you're getting branded and you're in a sex cult.
Crazy.
What conclusions can you or did your reporters make about the type of person who would be susceptible to a cult?
Well, that's interesting you say that, because that is kind of why this is a Hollywood Reporter story, because there
is a long history of people in the entertainment industry, specifically actors, being susceptible to this kind of organization. And it's the kind of person who is searching for something. They maybe are a little bit insecure. They are in an industry that values looks or is somewhat random and who is successful and who is not. That entertainment has that in throughout its history. And they're looking for something bigger. And that's when you get susceptible to being sold a bill of goods. And you are, next thing you know, you are a member of a group that you didn't quite sign up for, but it's something that you had a hole in yourself that was looking for.
Right. And I was really surprised to see some of the other names that came out that I knew in this, like actress Grace Park, for instance, who I think we're all big fans of. She's distanced herself from this. Is she talking about this at all now, Matt?
Everybody has distanced themselves. I mean, from everything we have heard, this group is sort of in disarray at this point. And a lot of these,
I would hope so.
Yeah. I mean, they're now, I mean, she's been arrested and charged. Like, this has now entered the criminal aspect of this. And we'll see what ultimately is proven in court. But there were other actresses that have been approached, mostly sort of smaller level actresses that were either in Allison Mack's circle or were shooting in Vancouver. That's the other thing, is Smallville shot in Vancouver, and there is a community of actors there that are not from Vancouver and are shooting shows there because it's cheaper to make them.
Right.
So they're kind of without a community, and they're away from home. They're a little bit more susceptible to this kind of a sales pitch.
Right. And also her co-star from Smallville, she was what, Lana Lang, Kristen Crook, was also named in the article. She was kind of the one who got Allison into it, right?
Yeah, that's the allegation, is that she, this actress, Kristen Crook, was the bridge that kind of brought her in. But there are a lot of others, too. I mean, one of the most shocking things is the Bronsman sisters, who are the heirs to this giant Seagram's fortune, the alcohol fortune. They allegedly spent about $150 million of the family fortune on this group, flying everyone around in private jets and establishing different groups all over the country and, you know, going down to Mexico and having a compound there. I mean, it's just staggering.
It's amazing. Now, what kind of first of all, what's going on with the leader? Is he in jail? Has he already been tried and found guilty?
He has not been tried, but he has been captured. He was captured in Mexico, and the reporting that we had is that Allison Mack was with him in Mexico and was kind of, you know, screaming and running after the police when they caught him. But there has not been anyone convicted yet, and I think that's what we're going to see play out over the next months and years.
Right, and it's going to be interesting to see what kinds of charges come out of this, because I don't know whether they're going to end up being drugs involved, there's going to be tax evasion also involved, there's going to be, you know, kidnapping, holding people against their will. I mean, there's just so many different ways this can go. But I mean, it's so terrifying. I mean, you never in a million years would look at most of the people in this article that we are familiar with and suspect they could ever be involved in something like this. It's a crazy story that you guys have really broken wide open with this article, Matt.
I mean, that's honestly why we went, you know, we made it a cover story, and we put the smiling Allison Mack on the cover, because you look at her and she was this, you know, charismatic, bubbly, fresh-faced actor that you know, was everybody knew on Smallville, and all of a sudden, 12 years later, she's being hauled into court.
Is this story an extreme exception, or are there a lot of things like this, maybe a little lesser, but a lot of cults like this?
Well, you know, there is a long history. If you go back, I mean, depending on what you think of Scientology, some people call it a cult.
It's a cult in our eyes, in my eyes.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch the Leah Remini show,
yes,
which I do, there are a lot of things in that she reveals in that show that are similar to here. The levels that you have to advance to, the disconnection from families, those kinds of things. And Scientology is very prominent in the entertainment industry because they have made it prominent. They specifically, the leader of Scientology said, we need to recruit actors to promote this religion across the world, and that's what they did. I mean, some people call Allison Mack the Tom Cruise of NXIVM because they're making a direct allusion to Scientology.
But now, do we think
I have
that
not
Tom
seen
Cruise
allegations of this kind of sex branding and things like that in Scientology? But there is a similar kind of core.
Do we think that Tom Cruise and also Allison Mack know exactly what's going on, or that they're just being used as spokespeople and they're not really positive about the details?
Well, I have not talked to Tom Cruise about this subject.
You should. Wisely. Probably fascinating.
if you talk to people around him, and if you talk, certainly if you talk to Leah Remini, who was in Scientology and went to a lot of organization events with him, the Scientology that is presented to Tom Cruise is very different from the Scientology that the average member
right.
experiences. I mean, he is the king. He is treated in a different way. And, you know, the allegations against that religion, like some of the disconnection from families and keeping people at these base camps and that kind of thing, he doesn't see any of that.
Okay, right. So that's why I asked the question. So Allison Mack, could she use that as a defense? I didn't know most of what was going on in my name?
Maybe, but I think this is a much smaller organization. And in fact, some of the speculation is the opposite, that Allison Mack, because she is so devoted to this leader, she will try to claim that she was involved so much that she's trying to save him.
Yeah, wow. There's wow. word that she's going to take the fall for him.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, look, we're out of time now,
Matt.
This
is a very different thing. I don't want to make too many allusions to Scientology because this is a very specific
it
thing.
It is different.
These allegations
yeah.
against her are very specific.
Well, it's a fascinating article, and kudos to your reporters, Scott Johnson and Rebecca Sun. They really did excellent work on this. It's a great read. It's the cover story of this week's Hollywood Reporter, THR.com. Matt, it's always great to have you and your perspective on. We appreciate it, sir.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And it is 7:52.
They not only wrote the Deadpool movies, but let's not forget Zombieland also, you guys.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Rhett and Paul are going to be joining us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Allie, what's happening on this Thursday?
Remember yesterday I told you about the two Survivor contestants that might have violated their NDA with the show?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
They wound up posting a picture together after the contestants are warned. Don't even follow other contestants on social media. Absolutely no pictures together because we don't want people to know who the cast is, who made connections during the show, all of that. But then Alec Merlino and Kara Kay posted a picture together with the caption, F it.
So they're not even trying to... They could have just posted a picture and not said anything or not...
They would have gotten in trouble.
But it's almost like they're pointing out, hey, everybody, look what we're doing.
Absolutely. Well, Alec got in a bit of trouble because he's the one that posted it. Sources say that showrunners of Survivor are withholding his appearance fee, not the prize money, which comes out to be about $10,000. And he's been disinvited to the finale episode broadcast where they all come back together and reflect on the season. And another email has been sent to the rest of the cast addressing both of them, saying Alec has been punished and you guys shouldn't follow suit.
This would not be good for you.
We're real serious about this, you guys. But I guess he maybe got off easy because they're talking about violating the NDA could be upwards of $5 million that you're fined. So
yeah.
Conspiracy Alley says, well, he didn't win.
Right.
Because they take that money.
Right.
By the way, that's a very reasonable request.
Absolutely.
From CBS and Survivor to basically clamp you down from revealing
sure,
anything
of course.
Before
Absolutely.
The show.
Absolutely. Yeah. And they know that. And for him to post F it, you're right. He was taunting them.
Yep. Right.
I don't like Alec very much. He is my least favorite contestant of a show that
hasn't aired yet.
Absolutely.
Even if it was meant as a joke, fewer laughing.
That's exactly true. Very true. You guys remember my favorite contestant ever on Jeopardy. I had a real soft spot for him.
He
was
a bartender. Your bartender, yeah.
Yeah, bartender in New York. He wound up winning $411,000 on a 12-show win streak.
Allie would give us updates daily.
Yeah.
Hourly.
Like, listen to what Austin said last night, guys. And they're like, you're a loser. Stop reporting on Jeopardy. Well, turns out Austin is currently in very high-level talks with a major cable TV network. He has developed his own idea for a car show for the everyman.
A car show.
And here's the thing. It's going to showcase cars that didn't quite resonate with the public, but they were precursors to cars that became wildly successful. So he's pitching all these different cars that he loved that then failed, but then he's going to point out, well, no, here's what came out after it, even though they said it would never work. It's going to combine his love for cars and American history.
Let me know how that is.
Well, the show is being described as Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives meets Top Gear, and those two shows are hits.
So combine them. Two great tastes that taste great together. Who's with me?
That's a terrible idea.
Really?
Yeah. Oh.
And a dynamic Jeopardy contestant as the host.
Listen, I don't like the hate that you are bringing Austin's way. Well, I wish him every success.
It's got to be a great idea for a show and a great host, and so far I'm not hearing either of those.
Don't you remember the clips I brought in? He was telling Alex Trebek about, Alex Trebek about his bike and the different names he had for his bike.
He was clever in conversation on a game show. That doesn't mean he can host a program about cars that didn't make it.
I don't know. I want to replay this clip and we'll see if you change your mind.
Where did you get to be so smart?
Genetics, luck, karma, school? No, not school. Nah.
Okay. Don't be ridiculous.
Right? Change your mind a little bit?
Nope.
He can host anything. Oh, no. Not the sad bassoon doing scales.
That ends any argument, doesn't it?
I'm sorry, the orchestra has ruled.
That's the last rule.
Oh, God, that is so good. Do we need this? ABC is going to be running a new 10-episode series of Dancing with the Stars Juniors, a spinoff of ABC's Dancing with the Stars, which will follow America's Funniest Home Videos Sundays this fall.
Kids are stupid.
So let me just go over ABC's lineup on Sundays. America's Funniest Home Videos.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing with the Stars Juniors.
Right.
Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Hello, HBO.
I mean, there's a lot of other stuff on other channels.
There really is. Oh, you love dancing and you love kids, Bean. How do you think that'll go?
That's a terrible idea. I can't believe Austin from Jeopardy is not hosting it.
Again.
Dancing with the Stars should have just retired the show after Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That was the best that has ever happened.
Yeah. He's gone.
I love him so much.
It's real sad. Yeah. I think the finale's coming up. No one is talking about that athlete's version.
Because Kareem's not on it?
Probably very true. All right, some birthdays for you. Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, Derek Hough, Nikki Reed, Jordan Knight, Craig Ferguson, Jim Nantz, Bob Saget, and Nine Inch Nail singer Trent Reznor. And that's what's happening. America's Funniest Home Videos.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing with the Stars Juniors.
Right.
Shark Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Hello, HBO.
I mean, there's a lot of other stuff on other channels.
There really is. Oh, you love dancing and you love kids, Bean. How do you think that'll go?
That's a terrible idea. It's I can't believe great. Austin from Jeopardy is not hosting it.
Again.
Dancing with the Stars should have just retired the show after Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. That was the best that has ever happened.
Yeah. He's gone.
I love him so much.
It's real sad. Yeah. I think the finale's coming up. No one is talking about that athlete's version.
Because Kareem's not on it?
Probably very true. All right, some birthdays for you. Speaking of Dancing with the Stars, Derek Hough, Nikki Reed, Jordan Knight, Craig Ferguson, Jim Nantz, Bob Saget, and Nine Inch Nail singer Trent Reznor. And that's what's happening.
Back in 2016, a movie called Deadpool came out of nowhere to make over $360 million. In this country alone, you guys?
Yes, in this country alone.
How much you make worldwide with the first Deadpool?
$783.4. Not that we're keeping track.
And you guys get 10%?
You need to be our agent, Kevin.
Those are the voices of the writers and executive producers of this weekend's Deadpool 2. Please welcome back to the studio, Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick. Hey, boys.
Hello, guys. Thanks for having us.
I know it has been a whirlwind couple of weeks. You guys have talked to every media outlet on the planet because there's been so much interest, so much excitement about Deadpool. What have people not asked you about this movie that you would love to share?
Is it good?
Yeah. you know, we keep getting sort of the same question, like, well, how does it differ from the first one? And there's no good answer to that. I mean, someone said probably the stupidest thing I'd ever heard, which was, it's similar, but it's different. And I thought, yeah, I guess that's true. But no, I mean, what haven't they asked us, Paul?
How Ryan likes his foot rubs, I think. How Ryan Reynolds likes his foot rubs, which is really with a lot of
little tickle with and some deep pressure.
Did you know by the first Friday afternoon of the first Deadpool's release? Okay, we're on. It's time to start thinking about another movie. I mean, it was obvious fairly early it was going to be a hit.
There was a moment where one of the magazine writers predicted our gross, our weekend gross, our opening weekend gross, and he said it would be somewhere between $55 million and $125 million. So he gave himself a $70 million window, and he still missed low. It ended up being $132. And so when that happened, we all looked at each other and thought, there will definitely be a sequel. Now, of course,
we were working on the sequel June of 2015. So before the first one even came out, we were starting to kick it around just for fun, not officially. But, you know, we love the world so much. We love the character.
Yeah, I was going to ask why. I was going to ask, what is it about the Deadpool story that you guys, in this character, that you guys fell in love with so much?
Well, he's a self-loathing, you know, self-deprecating, you know, shame spiral of a human being. And they say, write what you know, right?
While we're talking about the original, I would like to run a couple of lines by you, and I want to know which one of you can claim credit for this.
Or they might be Ryan's.
Or they might be Ryan's.
Yeah.
I know, right? You're probably thinking, whose balls did I have to fondle to get my very own movie? I can tell you his name. I can't tell you his name, but it rhymes with Pulverine.
That was Paul Wernick. Yeah.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me.
I want to die a natural death at the age of 102 like the city of Detroit.
That was might have been me as
Look
well.
Look at you!
Oh my gosh,
that was
you're
an
ad lib
on the day. Yeah, yeah,
step it up, Rhett.
Yeah. And who came, Rhett?
And who came up with Fat Gandalf?
I think that might be Ryan Reynolds. Yeah,
it was pretty strong.
Apparently, I wasn't around.
You were not a part of any of
this that day.
Foot rubs, Rhett Reese. Foot rubs.
I'm on the foot rub detail. Yeah.
Now, it took you guys a lot to get this movie made. You tried doing this forever. When it became such a hit and everyone was clamoring for a two, were you, little part of you kind of saying, suck it, we're going to take our time?
Not a little part, an entire part.
Good.
No, I mean, we've written in sheer terror, actually, because now the fans love it and they've claimed it as their own and you don't want to disappoint those people. So we kind of had to climb out of the fetal position even to get to our keyboards.
How many times have you guys heard, when is it going to be done, when is it going to be ready, as far as the second one?
A lot of pressure, you know. They were,
I imagine, from the studio as well, right?
Everybody, yeah. They had the movie dated, you know, before we even officially started writing it. So, but that's good, you know. I mean, when you've got a target, and the good thing is, you know, Deadpool's a movie that we can write up until we lock picture. So we were writing lines up until 2 weeks ago. He's in a mask; you can put words into his mouth. So
that's true.
It's like an animated movie in the sense that we could write, you know, up until the very last
Do you moment, watch so. The original and think of better lines?
Yes.
All the way through.
No, I wouldn't say so, but there are a lot of sometimes better lines sitting on a floor somewhere because we shoot so many different alternate versions and only one can make it into the movie. And I think this time on the DVD.
Is that what happened to yours?
Yeah, exactly. They're so good. They're so good, those poor little jokes.
Rhett, I wanted to ask you to expand upon something you mentioned about Ryan Reynolds being one of the writers on that movie and this movie as well. And so often people go, oh, yeah, you throw the star a bone. Apparently, the dude is as good at writing as he is at acting pretty.
I almost would say even better. I mean, he is an entertainment machine. I mean, there's nothing he can't do. We joke that he would be better at the job of anyone on set than the person who's actually doing the job. Like, he's just a brilliant, brilliant, exclusively talented human
being.
I've never met anyone like him. He's Charlie Chaplin to me.
There wasn't a time when you were like, dude, don't you have to be somewhere else? That never happened?
Never.
No, he elevates everything we do. It's a real, real treat, honestly.
But you have to say that.
No.
I mean, I'm telling you, if you ever hang out with the guy,
he makes you hate yourself.
Yeah. I've been cutting since the day I met him.
But then you realize he has to go home to that ugly wife, and you go, okay, at least I've got that. Right? Actually, speaking of that, because Deadpool for both movies has done some of the most creative advertising, and Ryan Reynolds popping up in the funniest places and making the funniest videos. Like, you know, he was just a unicorn on that Japanese TV show. He had the hilarious video going over to David Beckham's house. Is that all stuff that you guys, is that part of your job, is to write all that stuff, or is that all Ryan, or how's all that come about?
Yeah, we're involved in marketing, all of us. We're writing, you know, we did the Beckham spot. We wrote the Celine Dion.
Yeah.
Oh my God, those are both so funny, guys.
God, though, we wish we had written the Celine Dion song.
It's the best. I've listened to it on repeat like 18,000 times now.
So if you were already writing Deadpool 2 before Deadpool came out,
Yes.
Have you started writing Deadpool 3?
Oh, nice. Good question.
Thank you. Thank
no,
you so much.
And here's the Get reason. Has
anyone asked you that?
No. I mean, here's the issue. We've got... Yay!
Yay! That's the question no one's asked.
The question no one's asked. There's going to be an X-Force movie after Deadpool 2, mm-hmm. and we are not writing that one. So we have a little breathing room for the first time. So Ryan's going to get out of the suit. I can put down his feet. I don't have to rub them for a while.
Good.
And we're going to take a little time off. And then we're going to circle back, and we will absolutely be diving into a Deadpool 3.
Okay.
And you two can't wait to get away from each other, right?
Oh, we hate each other. We've known each other since high school in Phoenix.
Is that right?
35 plus years.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. And you still get along.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love each other.
Well, you got to tell us how you do it. Rhett Reese and Paul Werdick are here. Deadpool 2 in theaters everywhere. Tomorrow, you guys, more with our guests right after this on K-Rock.
Rhett Reese, Paul Werdick back on the Kevin and Bean Show. They are the co-writers of a little film called Deadpool 2 in theaters everywhere around the world this weekend. All right, I'm going to ask a dumb guy 101 question, guys. And
yes.
I know people are going to yell at me. Forgive me. So Deadpool is in the Marvel Universe, the same Marvel Universe as all those other Avengers and everybody else, right?
Well, correct, I guess, technically. It was a Marvel character, but Marvel, when it was a comics company, sold the rights to different movie studios, and as such, it got divided. So all the X-Men universe, which includes Deadpool, is over at Fox, and then the Marvel Cinematic Universe coalesced over at Disney.
Disney's
so this is kind of the Spider-Man thing for a while,
exactly.
Right, where they couldn't cross.
Yeah, Spider-Man was at Sony, and then they made a deal with Disney to do a crossover.
Okay, so what does that mean for the future? Could Deadpool ever interact with Thor, and Iron Man, and Captain America, and everybody?
Absolutely, especially now that Disney is going to buy Fox. So,
are you prepared for a rated G Deadpool? Is all I'm asking.
No, sir.
No, thank sir. You.
Although him playing off of all those other characters
that could be really
so
fun.
Great.
Yeah, like Captain America and Deadpool could be a pretty fun mix.
Maybe we dirty up all of them, right? And get them a little bit more to Deadpool
like
level. Thank you.
Now, how did, and again, this is another dumb question. I'm not as well-versed in this as you guys are. So Ryan Reynolds originally played Deadpool back in the X-Men Origins movie, right? And it was a very different Deadpool.
Yeah, it was a disaster. His mouth was sewn up. The Merc with the mouth didn't have a mouth.
Take the best part of his character away from him, right? Is it a miracle in some ways that the Deadpool on-screen story didn't end there? I mean, the fact that it got resurrected into something so great, I mean, somebody had to have some vision to pull that off.
It is a miracle because Ryan then, in between then and Deadpool, went and did Green Lantern, which didn't succeed. So it was an uphill battle. It took us 7 years, right?
Is yeah.
That,
yeah.
I mean, it's just to convince them to make that movie. It was really tough.
7 years of a draft that actually ended up on screen. So they were sitting on that draft.
So Deadpool, the original Deadpool movie that you guys wrote, it was finished and it was in the shape that it was shot.
Exactly.
And everybody was saying no to that script.
To that script.
2010.
And in fact, we're saying that the script was the reason they weren't making it. I mean, at the time, because they just thought it was too crazy. They couldn't wrap their heads around it.
You want to tell the Avengers story?
That's insanity.
Yeah, I mean, Avengers came out the weekend that the top executives had the Deadpool script on their desk at home, and Avengers made $200 million, and on Monday morning, they still told us no. It was just, we couldn't wrap our heads around it.
Do you think it was just a thing of them not reading it, not paying attention, or they just literally didn't think it would work in a theater?
Yeah, I just think it was a case of an apple among oranges, and you know, they were eating oranges at the time. So,
and I think it took a lot of years for people, even people in the industry who are supposed to be smart, to get past the fact that there's more than Batman and Superman in the world.
That's absolutely true.
They don't know all these characters, and they don't realize that there's somebody like Black Panther out there that has such a massive audience. I mean, everybody underestimated that movie. Everybody. Same thing with Deadpool. They had no idea how beloved that character could be.
Yeah, and also the R-rated. It's like it's all about quadrants with studios. You know, they want a four-quadrant movie. An R-rated movie isn't necessarily
what does that mean,
four-quadrant, which means it expands beyond just, you know.
The four quadrants are women and men and old and young.
Oh, I see.
So And but they thought they were worried that Deadpool was going to be a one quadrant movie, young men only. And so, but I think the romance in it and some of these other factors and
romance,
help it become
that's funny.
A four.
And we grew up on great R rated movies.
Yes.
You know, it's like you know, Die Hard. And,
yeah.
And
Lethal Weapon.
Like
sure.
Some of the great movies of our childhood.
When
were
I
R-rated.
Saw it was R rated, I was that made me excited, even more excited to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so.
Here's a question from a listener. Do you guys ever shoot special scenes for the trailer exclusively? Things that you shoot for the trailer that aren't in the movie?
This happens a lot, it seems.
And it actually did in Deadpool 2. But we would be giving away a huge plot point to let you know which we shot just for the trailer.
Well, don't do that. But so you do it on purpose?
Well, occasionally it seems like I wish we could talk about it. We should come back on once the movie's been spoiled. But we had a very specific reason this time. Usually they're not shooting directly for the trailer. Usually what they're doing is they're shooting a lot of stuff, and then the trailer people have to make the trailer long before the movie comes out. So they put it in.
And that's a different company?
It's a company they hire. Usually they subcontract out. But then what happens is the movie gets cut down for time, and whatever you saw in the trailer doesn't make it into the final cut of the movie.
But that's a natural.
That happens.
Interestingly, there are a bunch of jokes in the trailer that aren't in the movie, and that's just because
it's BS. Brian,
yeah, but it's good though. I think it's good because you get it's fresh. It feels fresh.
Were they all Rhett's jokes?
Yes, those poor little jokes.
All right,
so
here's
sad.
I know we're going to run out of time, and I'm already sad because this is so fun to talk to you guys. Here's a question I have to ask. So you're billion-dollar men now with the success of the first movie and what will be the success of
Hold please. Do you guys consider yourself billion-dollar men?
Oh my God!
I mean, sure wish.
Amazing.
Okay, back to you, B.
I mean, let's face it. You guys are known quantities now who can generate big box office. I guess I want to ask, now do you have is there a project that you guys now have the capital that you can say, finally we're big enough that we can write our dream project and here it is?
I would say yes, but we're kind of not allowed to talk about it. Or maybe we should. We really want to do a movie about new Coca-Cola. Remember Coke's decision?
Yes.
Coke's horrifying decision? We want to make a movie about failure, about horrible failure, and we want to make a movie about Coke's decision to change their formula, have it be an 80s period piece. Studio executives, if you're listening today, say yes. We'll go
and
make
Deadpool's
this movie.
Deadpool's going to be in it. twist.
Yeah.
Now suddenly they started to hear $1 billion. Before,
that's an outstanding idea.
Anyway, yeah, we just think that era, the Bill Cosby, the Michael Jackson, the Pepsi Challenge, like it feels like a really ripe material for a movie.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Yeah, you've heard what's going on with Cosby, though, right?
And Michael Jackson.
Make sure we
it
all
didn't
know
work
him.
Out, for either one. But
okay, right. The idea is dead.
Last question for me, and then I'll give it back to the room, and that is the timing couldn't be more perfect because you've been doing all these interviews lately, and people have somehow squeezed out of you that it looks like there's going to be a Zombieland 2. That's for reals, right?
It is. Unconfirmed for reals.
Okay,
if that makes sense. Meaning we can't confirm it.
It's not entirely
it's
official, but we're on a path.
You're feeling good about it.
We're
on
feeling
a path.
Great. We've got a script that we love, that the actors love, that Ruben, our director, loves, and the hope is that we're back in front of cameras soon enough. So,
oh, that's wonderful.
Can you confirm Cowboy Ninja Viking?
That will happen too, almost assuredly at this point.
Though
we're a bit in a more of a producerial role
and
on
Chris
that
Pratt?
One. But Chris Pratt.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You guys just sit in a throne now, and people come in with ideas. And if they're not good, you have them off with their heads. The hell works.
I know. We wish. Yeah.
Mm. Well, Deadpool 2 is what it's all about this weekend, you guys. In theaters everywhere, please go see it. Kevin, you already got your tickets in advance,
yes.
I know. Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick are the writers and executive producers of the film. We love you guys. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so very much.
It's come a pleasure
see us
to be here. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
All right, bye, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:51. In a little more over an hour, tickets go on sale for Cal Jam 18 at Glen Helen Regional Park. That's October 6th. But we're going to give away a pair in the next hour. In the 9 o'clock hour, between 9 and 10, when you hear any Foo Fighters song, be caller 20.
Even Gangnam Style, Kevin?
If they do it,
yes. Even All-Star, Kevin?
Absolutely. Wouldn't you like to hear Foo Fighters do All-Star?
You had a lot of really good guesses for that game, is what I'm saying. You're a guy who knows his Foo Fighters. I gotta give you that. So wait, I'm sorry to interrupt. So any song by Foo Fighters, you hear it between 9 and 10, you be caller 20, you win the tickets before they go on sale for Cal Jam 18 at Glen Helen. That is going to be an amazing show. I'm so happy that they're back doing that. I'm so happy that they created their own new festival and it made money the first year.
Agreed.
That's hard to do for anyone putting on a festival. All right. That's coming up between 9 and 10. We'll talk to Dr. Drew Pinsky. Is that where we're next?
Yep.
Yeah. Dr. Drew's coming up right off the top of the hour. First, Allie, what's happening?
Well, it's Trent Reznor's birthday today.
Yes.
But he is giving us all a gift. How would you like to hear some new Nine Inch Nails?
Please.
Yes. Their
really?
Their new album, Bad Witch, comes out June 22nd, but just released, like an hour ago, a clip of their new song, God Break Down the Door.
Boop-dee-dee-scoop.
Nope.
Scoop-dee-dee-whoop. Whoop-dee-scoop-dee-poop.
What?
Incorrect.
Incorrect. I actually have it, Kevin. I've got the new Nine Inch Nails.
Do you? Okay.
Cool. Here it is.
That's not Nine Inch Nails.
Wow, very different sound for Trent.
That's not Nine Inch Nails. This is. Going a different direction.
Imagine being in your car and being the biggest Nine Inch Nails fan and wanting to murder both of you right now.
I assume that happens on a daily basis.
That is why I am going to end the suspense.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to play the actual Nine Inch Nails log for folks who need to hear it.
Thank you.
I want to see some naked dudes. It's why I built this pool.
Again, that is a kid named Brady doing some Blink-182.
Sure. You want to hear Nine Inch Nails? Is that what you want?
No, I don't. We're out of time.
I do. Now play it forward.
That was forward.
Yeah. Again, it's called God Break Down the Door off of their brand new album, which comes out June 22nd, called Bad Witch. Nine Inch Nails, everybody. Nine Inch Nails.
Love it.
Is this on it?
Mr. Boombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Rowe.
It's not, but I wish it was.
How about this?
One day, it's a fun day. It's happening all around the world.
But have you heard the B-side?
Always and forever, each moment with you is just like a dream to me.
That's Rudy.
I mean, they are a lot of variety in this new record.
A lot of range, yeah. Absolutely. You guys done?
I think so.
Are you annoyed?
No. Okay.
What were we even talking about?
I mean, I have plenty more, but go ahead.
All right. In case you were wondering, hey, am I ever going to hear any Dee Snider from Twisted Sister?
Oh, Kevin, don't you have some?
Any chance I'll get a solo album?
Stepping outside of that limo, my nerves are such a mess. But hopefully all you noticed was my knockout dress.
Pretty good.
Wow.
Right?
That's a departure, too. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Dee Snider from Twisted Sister.
No?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes,
God.
Yes! Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Even though the sound of it is quite atrocious. If you say it loud enough, you'll always suffer caution. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
That might actually be it. I'm not sure.
Love the 4th of July, love the 4th of July. I do it up big on the 4th of July.
Why are you guys
just... How great is male ass?
Oh,
How did you recognize it
that
until
recorder?
Who played that, Dean?
Someone doing Wrecking Ball on the recorder. I don't know who.
Wow. Okay. I wasn't in for the biopic until I heard that.
Right?
Yeah.
What are we talking about again?
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter.
90 Snails?
No, that was...
You had moved on. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, you were doing Twisted Sister guy.
Right.
Dee Snider. Yeah. With his new song.
I'm a hamster, not a trapeze artist. I'm not a circus act. I'm a hamster. Am I in any way related to the wheel?
Some birthdays for you.
We consider ourselves just a giant roadblock to try and see if you can get through with what's happening. Yeah.
Happy birthday, like I said, Trent Reznor. Nine Inch Nails singer. Craig Ferguson, Jordan Knight, Nikki Reed, Derek Huff.
I don't care if I'm...
Forget the words.
Bring it home.
Never come back.
Here you go.
It's root for the curve.
Sell it.
Yeah! You don't win, it's a shame. Why is one, two, three strikes you're out at the... Game. Let's go, Cubbies!
Thank you, Scottie Pippen.
And happy birthday to Jim Dance. And that's what's happened.
Was that a new sex position Dr. Drew was just telling us about, the Jimmy Carter? I'm a little bit concerned about that. Hey, Doc.
Hey, I said the Jimmy Carter treatment. Is what
oh,
I said.
Treatment. We didn't hear treatment. I'm sorry. We just said the Jimmy Carter, and I thought he was coming on the alley or something. Hey, you guys, it's our weekly visit with our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky, drdrew.com, host of the Swole Patrol with lots of great guests.
Catherwood. And,
co-host Catherwood is on that one, too. The This Life podcast, the Adam and Dr. Drew show, the Dr. Drew podcast, all available at drdrew.com. So glad we have you on today. We saw what, for me, was a surprising statistic, probably not for you. Here's the headline from the Los Angeles Times. STD cases in California reach record high for the third year in a row.
Yay!
I don't know if the kids need to cheer that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
What's going on?
We're number one.
USA!
Wait, hold on. You said we're number one?
I believe we're usually number one in syphilis. If we're not, we get close. This is a disease that, when I was a resident, had been essentially eradicated, and now here it is back in full force. And it's the kind of an illness, you know, that if you don't get it treated when you have the presenting sore, it goes underground, and it's hard to detect. People don't know they have it. It can really have lots of serious secondary consequences.
I have heard of people in history, famous people in history back in the day, 100 years ago, 200 years ago, who ended up dying from syphilis. How does it kill you, doctor?
Well, the sort of classic thing is something called neurosyphilis, or tertiary syphilis, where it eats your brain.
Ooh.
Yeah, USA. And so, but some people speculate Nietzsche had that. Some people speculate Columbus may have had that. So it has, and the secondary manifestations can be very protean. They call it the great imitator because it can have all kinds of other manifestations.
But, like what?
I mean, growths and autoimmune reactions and rashes and, you know, joint problems. I mean, it can be just a big mess. But then syphilis isn't our only problem. Gonorrhea is back on the rise. Chlamydia.
Gonorrhea seems like the biggest one in California right now.
Yeah, gonorrhea. And, you know,
it's coming on strong.
I know. It's funny. I'm of two minds of this. One is like, okay, well, why, you know, I hate the fact that we stigmatized STDs. I worked all those years on Loveline to try to destigmatize it, but I don't want it to be casual. I mean, we shouldn't think of it differently than we think of, say, a strep infection on your skin. Yet, it's something that needs to be prepared for, needs to stay top of mind. You've got to practice safe sex. You have to get treatment immediately. And part of the problem with gonorrhea now is that there are antibiotic resistant strains popping up. Chlamydia, of course, has secondary manifestations where it can cause infertility and secondary problems in men as well. And so, you know, these are not benign conditions. And I think a lot, my suspicion is some of this is the result of the fact that we have sort of turned AIDS from a death sentence to a chronic manageable illness. And so people have just forgotten about safe sex.
I was 100% going to propose that as my thought as well.
It's same. Like,
it can't hurt you anymore to have – there's no deadly disease that comes out of sex is what most people think when they lay down.
That's right. And yet when they lay down.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
When they get in that situation, they go, well, I don't have to worry about that anymore because they've solved the big one. Therefore, there's nothing that can't be handled by medicine.
I like the way Bean suddenly starts speaking with biblical imagery.
Right.
She laid with the man.
Yep. Bean is all about the Bible. If you know him, you know that's true.
So, well, yes and no, because, again, these things do have consequences that can be untoward and uncool, and so we have to be very, very serious about this. But I don't know. There's another sort of factor in all this that the – I don't know if the LA Times made it explicit, but several articles did. There was a real increase in the African-American community, and then – the conclusion is, therefore, it's racist. It's like, no.
What?
No, I know. It's like, no. What that is, I suspect, is that the African-American community doesn't trust the medical system as quite as readily as other populations, and reasonably so, and has sort of been ill-served by it and isn't likely to go to it and may not be sort of inclined to go get medical care as easily as other populations might, because of a history of mistreatment.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. And that needs to be focused on as well. I mean, you know, I work at the Prostate Cancer Foundation, and that's one of our big problems is the African-American men present with more advanced disease, more deadly disease, and aren't as likely to get screened for it. And we just got to get on top of that.
And that means it spreads more readily because they're not getting it treated. So is there a difference, doctor, forgive me, dumb question here, gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, I'm sure there are others. Do they all present about the same? You just see them?
No.
Oh, they don't.
No. And there's, you know, chancroid and lymphogranuloma venereum and all kinds of good stuff.
Doesn't sound good.
No.
Yeah,
chancroid?
So syphilis presents as a painless ulcer. Painless ulcer.
Painless
ulcer. Ulcer that's painful, it's more likely to be herpes. An ulcer that's painless, you got to get checked for syphilis. And after a week or two, that ulcer goes away. And then a few weeks or even months later, you get a rash that involves your hands. And then that goes away. Oh. And then all the nasty stuff starts happening.
Wait, does other stuff wasn't nasty to begin with?
Gonorrhea, vaginal discharge, pain with urination, women and men, sometimes a urethral discharge in men. Chlamydia, very similar to gonorrhea in this presentation. Non-gonococcal urethritis, which are some other bacteria.
Dumb it down, Doc.
There are other bacteria cause a very similar syndrome. And all of them can have complications, prostatitis, two ovarian abscesses, infertility problems because of the tubes being damaged in the women.
All right, I have two more questions, Dr. Yeah. Drew. Number one, is it in general harder for women to realize a sexually transmitted disease than for men just because of the way they're built?
Yes and no. Because yes, if the ulcer is inside, but no, because they get a lot of pelvic pain and things that a man might not have. And yes, because some of these infections are indolent and can do their damage without any symptoms, and that's where the fertility problems really come in. And most of all, I'm disturbed that I've been chanting about this for 30 years, and 30 years later I have to review the same material that I reviewed in 1984. It's amazing to me.
And I'm sorry about that. All right, my final question, and this is just a guess, I don't know. Do you think that the reluctance to use condoms for young people is possibly – at least partially as a result of how few condoms are used in pornography that they are viewing?
There are those that would argue that, but I think you can sort of map, I'm going to guess. This is a pure guess, and please, I may be wrong, but when we start developing what's called pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is a pill you can take before sex that really reduces the risk of HIV transmission, I think that's when you started seeing the turn away from condoms. What happens on porn, I think people understand that's acting. And
what?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Kevin. Sorry. I know. But anyway, you may be on something to be in, and there are certainly plenty of people that believe that is true.
All right. So safe sex, kids. That's what we're saying.
That's
you,
right.
You don't want gonorrhea. You don't want syphilis.
And
want chlamydia.
Even more so, don't be afraid to go to the medical system. We see this stuff all the time. It's no big deal. It's easy to manage now anyway, and hopefully it will continue to be. There needs to be more research on antibiotics, you know, to make sure we don't have a horrible resistant strain out there, but that's for the future.
Well, Drew, let me just say, last time I went to get, you know, things checked, my doctor asked if I wanted an STD panel, and I said, oh, absolutely, check everything. But there are certain STDs STDs that aren't even included on that panel. You have to then ask for extras.
Yes,
you do. A la carte.
Yes.
Why is that?
Why is that?
I don't have an answer for that.
They should just call it the works. Give me the works.
Right. You'd have to ask your doctor what the works would be, because I think there's no sort of standard with the works.
What?
And HPV, you can't really test for that in men.
Right.
And women, it's the cervical cancer stuff that we see. That get that vaccine for HPV. I mean, there's no reason for anybody to have that today. And that's really the one that causes deadly illness, which causes cancer in the cancer of head and neck, cancer of the anus, cancer of the penis, cancer of the cervix. And there's no reason for anybody to get that today. And so the screens are usually just a bacterial swab, and they're often times a gonorrhea swab, and oftentimes a syphilis blood test, and sometimes an HIV blood test. And the herpes blood tests are largely worthless, so please be careful with those unless there's very convincing clinical evidence that the blood test can be confirmatory. Those tests aren't very good.
Will, in your medical opinion, will the HPV vaccine be as common as the ones we get as a baby? It's just going to be included.
It already is.
Okay.
But some parents, for unknown reasons, and the rest of the country looks at us like the rest of the world rather looks at us as though we're truly insane.
It is insane
because it prevents cancer.
Yes.
And it has the safest vaccine profile of any vaccine in history, used worldwide. Most countries mandatory because it's so effective, and they would rather the population not get cancer. And yes, it's given it's a series, and it starts at a young age, and it's given at a young age because it's most effective when it's given that.
My last question is, why haven't you talked about STDs before?
Yeah, you really got to talk about this, Drew.
I know. It's so weird that I'm talking about it again. I've only said it for 30 years.
Guys, Swole Patrol, This Life with Dr. Drew, and so many more podcasts available at drdrew.com, plus live appearances. You can always hear our man on the radio middays live from noon to 3, Monday through Friday, and 790K ABC. Don't forget, see a doctor in your own home with the Heal app. Download it wherever you get yours today.
They do the STD screens too if you need them. They'll do
it. There you go. Thank you, sir. Talk to you next time.
Bye.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Joey Andrade, I want to say, from Downey, just won a 4-pack of passes to Knott's Berry Farm. This Saturday is going to be cool. Our friend Megan Holiday is going to be out there broadcasting live from noon till 4. And if you win tickets all this week on K-Rock, you can get early access to the park to be one of the first to ride their new coaster, the Hang Time. By the way, can you bet on what color Megan's hair will be? I don't think I've ever seen it the same color twice in a row.
Yeah, it was about 3 colors at Weenie Rose.
Yeah,
yes.
She's very adventurous and very lovely, and you'll have a good time with Megan out there at Knott's Berry Farm. Keep listening for your chance to win tickets. Right now, our final look at what's happening with you, Allie.
I'm uncomfortable.
With what?
She's very adventurous and very lovely.
Just say hot.
I didn't even say that. I was just complimenting that she's fun and she's very good on the radio, and you'll have a fun time with her host at a party. That's all.
She's very adventurous.
Hey, it's not all about looks, you guys, with me.
And she's hot.
I like a total package who also happens to be very hot.
She's super adventurous, if you catch my drift. Know what I'm saying? All right, moving on. You guys, huge, huge breaking news just crossed my news desk. Huge.
Do you have a news desk?
I do.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
All right. Okay.
Live, local, late breaking.
This is a tour that is
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Very well. This is a tour that is hitting North America this fall. And I'm going to give you a hint. Good Morning America calls it the mashup everyone is talking about. Who can be touring together, blowing minds?
I have not seen this story. I don't know this story, so I'm going to guess.
Mm-hmm.
NSYNC.
Mm-hmm.
And no, I take it back. Backstreet Boys and New Kids on the Block.
No, they've already toured together.
Oh, they have. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that was a good idea then.
It was a great idea. Well done.
Are they two bands that do fit together, that make sense together, or is the contrast what makes it so interesting?
It's debatable.
Goat Whore.
Okay.
Plain White Tees.
Yes. Kevin.
Great guess, Kevin.
You
nailed
saw
it.
The song.
sorry.
Great dinner. Yes.
No, we found out about these two people coming together, and we were like, how is two this people. Happening? Two people.
Oh, not bands, people.
Mm-mm.
Okay. So this is like when Tim McGraw and Faith Hill got married, boom, all of a sudden now they're touring together as a package deal.
I think right. we understand two people's right. stories.
Right. Blake Shelton and Miranda right. Lambert, when they went out together on the road, it made sense because they were dating.
Hit it, Steve.
Nope.
Yep.
Oh, sure.
Yep.
Oh, nope. They got to.
Nope.
They got to.
Have to.
They don't have to.
Have to.
No, they do.
Absolutely. You don't want to rush out. I don't
want to take my time. And that's... I'm putting everything on the line. That's going to be fun.
Is it?
Yeah, I think that's going to be a fun night.
It is Sting and Shaggy, and lucky us in Southern California. October 9th at the Santa Barbara Bowl. Maybe you want to head to Rancho Mirage, October 12th. Or you just want to stay in L.A. October 15th at the Wiltern. I'm just saying.
Mr. Bombastic, baby fantastic, touch me in my back, Mr. Roll.
I mean, they don't have to worry if something happens right? to Shaggy while they're here.
Muggs is right there.
Muggs can fill right in.
When I first heard Mr. Bombastic, it affected me in a way that your deep, sensual voice hasn't affected anyone before. I mean, it was... has a man told you that before?
That was said to Shaggy.
That was.
It was the most excited anyone has been about Shaggy, well, since Sting.
Oh, it's just good stuff. All right, you guys, the three CW series will take their final bows during the 2018-2019 TV season. We already knew that Jane the Virgin and Crazy Ex-Girlfriend were going to be wrapping it up. And that is now confirmed by the network. But we didn't know this. iZombie, their upcoming fifth season, will also be their last.
Huh.
I know, a bummer. So like Crazy Ex-Girlfriend will be the first to finish their run. They return this fall at a later time. They're going to be on Fridays at 9, 8 central. And then Jane the Virgin and iZombie are going to be held until mid-season. But we were talking about this earlier. It's better that we know a show is wrapping up. They're able to end it in their own way instead of just being like, hey, tomorrow's season finale? That's also it. Our series finale, so yeah. Enjoy it.
Well, and look how many people get ticked off when a show that has a storyline,
yeah.
like Last Man on Earth, for instance, is a pretty good example of a show that just they pull the rug out from under, and all the fans who were left watching that show were like, hey, how does it end?
It's very true. It is very true. And we talked about this earlier. So many people were sending around all different news-sourced stories about how a woman by the name of Kathleen Kennedy. You know her as the Lucasfilm president. Apparently, she said during an interview with Premier France that a new standalone movie is a go. It is all Donald Glover's Lando Calrissian all the time.
She told that to who?
Premier France. She said, we think that the next spinoff will be dedicated to Lando Calrissian. Of course, there are still many stories to tell about Han and Chewbacca, but Lando will be next. And everyone ran with that story.
Because it's big news.
It's huge news, but then you had to wonder, why would she break that to Premier France? Wouldn't Disney, Lucasfilm, wouldn't they send out maybe a press release, something? Well, it turns out that the translation was incorrect in that story. What she actually said was, we would love to tell a story about Lando Calrissian one day, but it's not relevant. It would be fun to tell the story of Han and Chewie. Another translation was, we would love to tell a story about Lando Calrissian one day, but this is not news.
So it's not what she said at all.
Oops, it's not what she said at all. She had to be sitting there, her phone ringing off the hook, like, oh, but
she
I didn't say that.
I
didn't say that. So, not going to happen now. I would assume someday, though.
Sure.
Lando Calrissian, right?
Sure.
That is
especially
good.
With as popular as Donald Glover is.
Absolutely.
People would want to go see him.
And if you diss Pink on Twitter, she's going to come at you. So there was a video of Pink and a 12-year-old girl that joined her on stage singing a song. And it is beautiful. The little girl is an amazing singer. And Pink's face listening to this girl sing her song to her is just, it's charming and it's beautiful and lovely. Unless you're this douchebag who said, wow, Pink looks so old and should be named Purple instead.
What?
Sir, what? With So she responded with, "You must be from L.A. Well, there are a few people left in the world that choose to age naturally. And I've earned every effing minute of my 38 years. How you looking, though? Because I never heard about you till you put my name in your mouth." She then went on to say,
"Love it.
I am of the mindset that it's a blessing to grow old, that if your face has lines around your eyes and mouth, it means you've laughed a lot. I pray I look older in 10 years because that will mean I'm alive." I love her so very much.
She is
much.
Great.
Ugh. Let's be honest. If I could look like Pink without getting anything done, I would choose that.
Sure.
I really would. Not her point. What?
What?
With the... Some birthdays for you. Bob Saget, Derek Huff, Nikki Reed, Jordan Knight, Craig Ferguson, Jim Nance, and I don't believe we call him asshore, but Nine Inch Nails singer Trent Reznor. Not going to play the clip.
Do you want it? I got it.
Yeah, because that's going to be really weird.
Yeah.
Could
you? This is Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore. What if your name, say, was Vagina Patterson?
Why does that bring me so much joy?
It just does.
It's
so great.
It's just good. And that's what's happening.
Thanks, Allie. And your drive home today. Listen to tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday, so we've got Keep It 100. We've got DJ Omar Khan with a look at Jersey Shore. We have comedian Kevin Nealon. We have the creator of Deadpool, Rob Liefeld.
What?
We've got your tickets for Cattle Jam, and we've got your tickets for the K-Rock IMAX advanced screening of Solo, A Star Wars Story tomorrow.